Our reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 14th chapter. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Here ends our reading. Whenever I read this text or hear this great account from Scripture, I always wonder, with what kind of boldness did Peter initially climb out of the boat? With what kind of intensity did he originally go over the wall of that boat and place his feet down upon the water? He's permitted by the miraculous power of the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, standing there. He's permitted by his power to do something that contradicts the typical laws of nature and is permitted to walk on the surface of this water. What an amazing sight. Christ here demonstrates his divine authority, even over the very nature that he himself has created and the laws that he has placed into the natural order of things. And he often will manipulate those laws to suit his purposes, as we see here in our text. Because as we know, nothing is impossible with God, as the angel said to Mary. Now initially, Peter is a wonderful example for us. He trusts Christ's word. He takes what Jesus says and has confidence in what our Lord has told him to do. He trusts the power of Christ. And so he begins to walk out on the water, even though it's something that mentally probably didn't make any sense to him, visibly appeared to be ludicrous. And yet, in faith, he holds on to what Christ has told him. What a great example of faith initially he is. The book of Hebrews tells us faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. One of the hymn writers says, "Faith is a living power from heaven that trusts the promise God has given." A power from heaven. God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who creates faith in us to trust the promises that God has given. But of course, the story takes a change when Peter sees the waves coming around him. Suddenly, his own human logic begins to override the word of Christ. And he begins to have an evil skepticism in his heart that starts to question his Lord and his Lord's ability to keep him on the surface of the water. And so Jesus permits him to sink and uses this as a wonderful example to speak to him about his weak faith. When it comes to how we might at times question God, there are really two forms of questioning God. One is divine, a divine form of questioning, and the other is an evil form of questioning. The divine form of questioning is this: when the Holy Spirit stirs up our hearts to question and ask questions and to seek out answers from God through his word or servants of his that will help us and strengthen us back into our faith. This is a divine form of questioning God. But there's also an evil form of questioning God. When we doubt God and his word, when we hear and see what his word says clearly and push it aside and permit our own thinking to rise above that and to deny what he says and to claim it to be untrue and maybe even to doubt his very existence. This is the evil form of questioning. Years ago, I heard a pastor use an illustration that always sticks with me when I think about a text like this and trusting and so on. It goes like this. Imagine a man in the 1800s riding a horse, and he comes up to a river, And it's in deep in January. There's been a deep freeze well below zero for many years, or for many months, that's already gone on. And there's a sign posted right at the bank of this river about the ice in front of him. And the sign is posted by the Army Corps of Engineers. It had just been posted that morning. And it says the ice is so many feet thick, it will support tons of weight. It's safe to cross today, no problem. But the man isn't sure, so he gets off of his horse and he gets down on his hands and knees and he begins to creep out onto the ice. And suddenly behind him, he hears the roar of a carriage coming over the embankment, down to that very same sign. Four horses pulling a heavy carriage. And the man driving the coach reads the sign, snaps his whip, and takes the horses right across the ice to the other side. God would have us each take a spiritual checkup of our faith. Where has God clearly given you a promise in His Word where you and I maybe want to believe it, at the same time we take His Word and just creep out onto the ice? Is it possibly when He tells you that all of your sins, even that one that burns your conscience the most, that all of your sins have been forgiven for Jesus' sake? Is it possibly when He tells you that along with the blessed bread and wine at our Lord's table, you receive the very body and blood for that forgiveness? Is it possibly in the realm of Christian stewardship when He promises you that if you give to Him first a generous gift, He will take care of your needs? Is it possibly when He promises you that He will work all things for your good? Is it possibly in the power of baptism? Is it possibly when He promises you about the resurrection of your own body from the grave someday, or the promise of everlasting life in heaven? Where are you and I tempted to take the promises of God to us and just kind of creep out onto the ice with them, when He's invited us to just go bold to the other side? We are always tempted to take the Word of God, because of our sinful nature, and put it under the microscope of our own reasoning. When God in His Word gives you a promise, He puts Himself, His very essence and being, on the line. One of God's divine attributes is His holiness, which means His truthfulness, that He cannot lie. And so to contradict His own word, to lie to you, to give you a promise and then take it away and deny it, would be in essence denying Himself being God. In the Old Testament, Balaam said this: "God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and not fulfill?" And that's really the question that Jesus asks Peter here. Why did you doubt? Look who you're considering. Look who you're dealing with here. Have I ever let you down before? Have I ever once broken a promise? How about to you? Has God ever once broken a promise He's given to you? To anybody you know? To anybody in the history of the church? To anybody in the history of the world? Why should we doubt, oh, we of little faith? But notice that despite Peter's weak faith, our Lord doesn't throw him away. You see, as the Lord tells us in His Word, a bruised reed He will not break, and a smoldering wick He will not snuff out. How wonderful it is that even for people like me and you who have this small, tiny, weak faith at times, that even that faith still possesses all of the riches that Christ has come to give us and the hope of heaven. May we always pray, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." Amen.